My brothers and sisters, have you ever gotten on a plane and you get to your aisle and the person sitting next to you is already in their seat and the book's open and you sit down expecting them to turn to greet you, to say hello, and their book stays, their nose in the page, and that's the way the entire flight passes? What's the clear message they're sending? I don't want to talk to you, so don't talk to me. I got on a plane maybe about a year and a half ago, and I get to my seat and here's the guy, this gentleman at the window seat, and he's got his earphones in already, his eyes are closed, he's rocking out. 4 hours passed away, he didn't acknowledge me, my existence, it's like I was not even there whatsoever. Or it's like someone comes to you and they're struggling in their marriage. What is oftentimes the first thing a married person says when they're having a hard time in their marriage? My spouse will not listen to me. It's like they don't want to hear what I have to say. Almost every struggle, the root of it in a marriage, is a lack of communication. My brothers and sisters, we are relational beings. We have to be in communication with others. And why are we relational? Because God is relational and we're made in His image. And He is perfectly relational. That if He's relational, what that means is that He will be in communication with us. He's going to talk to us. And what do we find with John the Baptist today? Where does everything begin for him? It says the word of the Lord came to him in the desert. That God spoke to him. That's where it started with Abraham and Moses and the prophets and Our Lady. My brothers and sisters, God speaks to us. It's amazing. The God of the universe wants to talk to us. And sometimes we think, well, gosh, you know, that's reserved for those people who are holy or they're special or the ones that are going to become saints. That's a bunch of nonsense. If you don't think God talks to you, you're deceived. Or maybe you're not listening. You're not opening the possibilities that you can hear what He wants to say to you, because every single one of us, He has messages for all the time. I gave a homily last weekend, and it's interesting. I talked about people who have had certain dreams, and it seems like God is revealing stuff to them in their dreams. I received so many emails and individuals coming up to me in the parish talking about the ways that God has spoken to them in recent years, signs, events in their lives, messages that they've received in their hearts. My brothers and sisters, if you feel like God doesn't talk to you, it might be because you're like that guy on the plane with the earphones in, not ready to receive anything He's going to say. It is possible to go through life and kind of be like, you know what, Lord, I'm kind of busy right now. Maybe when I'm older, after I retire, I'll have a little bit of time and You can speak to me then. We can go through life, and sometimes it's subconscious. And on a certain level, we actually don't really want to hear what He has to say because we're a little afraid of what He might say if we did hear His voice. And so we just kind of drown it out. We get in the car, and what's the first thing that happens? The radio goes on. We get home, and the TV is flipped on. We create as much noise as we can so that we don't have any silence, which is how He speaks to us. John the Baptist, he goes into the desert precisely because he wants to hear what God has to say. Mary Magdalene sits at our Lord's feet. The prophet Samuel, he says, "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening." My brothers and sisters, if we don't set quality time aside, we can go through life without ever hearing anything that God says, except maybe in a homily if we're not falling asleep. And if you come to the 4:30 Mass, it's harder to stay awake, just so you remember that in the future. It's really possible. And He's trying to break through all the time. But if we don't have consecrated time of silence, it's going to be more and more difficult to recognize His voice when He does speak. And I think one of the best ways, we have an adoration chapel. We commit ourselves, okay, Lord, I'm going to dedicate 1 hour a week where I am alone face to face with You, so that not only I can speak to You, but I'll allow You to speak to me. But it's got to be quality time. Sometimes in confession, I'll recommend the rosary, or I'll ask somebody, I'll say, you know, are you praying your daily rosary? If nothing else, if you have no other prayer time, are you doing that? And I'll oftentimes get a response, especially in this parish, you know, Father, I'm trying, or I'm doing it. I do it on my way to work. I say, okay, that's great. That's awesome. That's a good time to pray. But if the only time we pray is when we're in the car, it's going to be distracted prayer. It's not the highest quality of prayer. I had a lady say to me not too long ago, God bless her, about a year and a half ago, she came to me and she said she wanted to work on her relationship with God. And I recommended starting by setting aside 15 minutes a day for prayer. And she goes, oh man, Father, you know, I'm really busy. And 15 minutes, that's a lot. So, okay, well, just give it a shot. I saw her about a month later and she said, Father, you know, I've been trying, but I keep falling asleep like almost every day. And I thought, okay, maybe she's praying late at night or right after lunch where, you know, she's got a full stomach and so you're a little more drowsy. And I said, when are you praying? And she said, well, first thing in the morning. I go, gosh, that's awesome. I think that's the best time to pray, especially after a cup of coffee. And she says, first thing in the morning. I said, well, where are you praying? I'm thinking she probably has like a nook in her home, you know, maybe a little prayer table set up. She says, oh, my alarm goes off and I pray in bed. This woman, her 15 minutes of prayer was her head on the pillow with her eyes closed. Okay, now anybody, if you're a spouse and you have 15 minutes a day to talk to your spouse and their head's on the pillow with their eyes closed, what's that saying? Okay, this isn't the most important conversation, but I'm, you know. Do we make time for God? The one whose voice we most need to hear. I was listening to one of the CDs in the back of the church not too long ago, and there's a nationally renowned Catholic priest, and he was giving the talk, and he said at the end of one of his talks, someone in the crowd asked him a question and said, Father, you know, your faith is so dynamic. How do you know that Jesus Christ is real? How do you know we're not all being deceived? And he said, you know, it was interesting, my response, it just came to me. He said, I didn't say, oh, because I read the Bible, or because someone else told me about Jesus. He said, because I know Him. I have a relationship with Him. I could never doubt that He is real. My brothers and sisters, if someone asked you, how well do you know Jesus Christ? What would your response be? John the Apostle says, to know Him is eternal life. I close with this. One of the most disturbing phrases that our Lord speaks, in my opinion, in sacred scripture, is when He said that when we stand before Him one day, and in particular at the end of time, He said there will be those who come to Him and say, Lord, Lord, I worked miracles in Your name. You think, gosh, that's amazing. Someone who's a miracle worker. And Jesus will say to them, depart from Me, I do not know you. I could celebrate Mass every day, hear confessions all day long, and I might not have any relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ, even though I'm a priest. Unless I'm setting aside the time for that. If we can one day stand before Him and He says, I don't know you, it's not because He's not omniscient. He knows everything. It's because we didn't allow ourselves to be known by Him.